Hello everyone and welcome to a brand new episode from Set in the Tone. I'm really excited by this one. This is a band that I've liked for a number of years. It's our Cloud Nothing special. Stick around because I'm telling you all about that right after the intro. Hello everyone and welcome to today's episode. Today is our Cloud Nothing special. I've got a wonderful interview with Dylan from the band talking about Final Summer, as well as inspiration behind the album and the making of the album. And of course, we hint on a little 10-year anniversary celebration for a particular album called Here and Nowhere Else, which turns 10 this year. To celebrate that, I'll be playing you a track called I'm Not Part of Me, and I'm going straight into our interview with Dylan. So here is I'm Not a Part of Me from the album Here and Nowhere Else.
I'm not telling you all I'm going through. I feel fine.
Dylan, welcome to Setting the Tone. Setting the Tone, welcome to Dylan from the band Cloud Nothings. Welcome, Dylan, to your Setting the Tone debut.
How are you doing? Yeah.
I'm really good. How about yourself, my friend?
Pretty good. Yeah, just hanging out.
What's the weather like over in the States at the moment where you are? Is it nice and sunny or a bit miserable?
It is wonderful. Yeah, it's like the last like 3 days have been super nice out. So I've just been going on like long walks with my dog, chilling. It's been great.
Awesome, man. Awesome.
How's things over? Where are you?
I'm in the UK. So I am about an hour outside of London.
Okay.
So yeah, it's standard British weather, I'm afraid, my friend. Grey, miserable, waiting for summer to get here, which is why we're here, which leads me on to Final Summer, which is the follow-up to The Shadow, I remember, from 2021. Dylan, if you don't mind, would you take me through the journey of Final Summer? How did the ideas, lyrical themes and the ideas in general come together?
Yeah. Well, the last, like, maybe the last two or three records, we've been kind of doing a thing where we'll just make, or I guess I'll just make a ton of songs, like too many songs. I'll be like making a song every day. And then I'll be like, okay, how do I make these make sense? You know, if I have like 100 songs, that's insane. You know, that can't be a record. So we start paring them down and putting them into little like groups. And, you know, eventually it kind of makes sense. Like, oh, this could be a record, like these 10 songs here, or this could be something else, these 10 songs over here. So for Final Summer, that process probably started like a 3 years ago. The record's been done for like 2 years. It's just finally coming out now. So yeah, it's that kind of process for this one.
What is the album about? And then where did the ideas and inspirations come from for the album?
Every song's about something a little different, but I think the kind of the overarching theme is just kind of embracing the the end in a to be dark about it, I guess. But yeah, kind of just like, you know, realizing there's all these, you know, shitty things happening in the world around you, but you kind of have to keep living your own life, you know, and you do what you can to, you know, help other people and whatnot, but it gets exhausting sometimes just thinking about all the terrible things happening. So it's nice to realize that sometimes you got to just zoom in and, you know, do your own thing for a minute. Yeah, that's kind of the record.
Cool. In terms of leveling up, what did you try to do differently as a band to previous releases, whether that be working with different producers, playing around with guitar pedals or production, whatever it may be?
Yeah, we did. There's a couple of things we did differently that are kind of on the technical side, I guess. But we, it's the first time that we didn't all play together in a room. You know, we usually do things pretty live. But this one, like, we recorded all the parts separately. We were together, but we just didn't play together. We did it in Philadelphia with this guy, Jeff Ziegler. And then the other thing that changed is usually we have someone record and mix and like do everything all at once, you know. But this one, we just recorded it in Philly. And then my friend Sarah Tudson mixed it in her house in California. And somebody else mastered it, this other guy, Jack, that we know in New York. So it was like a whole more of a team effort, I would say, than some of our other records have been. Yeah.
Did you know, recording your parts separately at different times in different rooms, did that really change anything dramatically, or was it just, hey, let's just try something different, let's see how it feels to be alone in a room doing our bit and make sure we're doing the best we can?
It didn't really change, I guess. Like the record does feel a little less like, I know when we record live sometimes the it feels more dynamic or something to me, and this one kind of doesn't necessarily feel that way. It's kind of just like a cruising, maybe a little slower than some of our other records. It's got more of a sad vibe. But honestly, it didn't change that much. It sounds a little different, but yeah, for the most part, I don't think I notice a huge difference.
I from what I've heard, it's still got that Cloud Nothings kind of sound and feel that people are going to expect, which is really, really cool. In terms of adjusting your mindsets when you start a new album, do you look at anything that you've done before? Do you just say, no, it's a fresh project, it's a new canvas, we're not going to worry about what was in the past, this is the future?
Yeah, that's probably closer to the attitude. Just because I am kind of always making things, you know, and it's hard for me to think back on the things I've made, because I'm just like every day I'm like, let me try something new. And that's kind of what keeps me going and hopefully keeps the records and songs like interesting and exciting for other people to listen to too. Yeah. So we're not a big nostalgia band at this point, I guess, even though we've done like tours in the last couple of years that were like 10-year anniversary of a record. And those have been pretty fun, actually. But in terms of making new things, I'm not thinking like, not inspired by our old work, I guess. Yeah, I'm just kind of inspired by what I'm up to now.
Is there a song or even a section on this album that makes you go, wow, we've nailed that. We've put the best, if you like, version of ourselves into that particular song or that section on the album?
You know, there's some stuff on this one that is like new territory for us, I feel like. There's the ending bit of a song called Mouse Policy. It's kind of slow and almost sounds like American football or something, which is not a place that we've really gone before. So I like that part a lot. And there's a song, there's almost like a power ballad, like our version of that towards the end called On the Chain, that I think the guitars on that song in particular just sound like huge and kind of grinding in a nice way. Yeah.
Where do you feel this sits in your body of work, you know, with all your albums out there and songs? Where does it sit, do you feel, in that hierarchy, if you will, if you were to organize it as like a 1-2-3 kind of process?
It sits as the newest one. I think it's kind of just like I feel like our next one will kind of build on this in a way. Like this one feels to me almost like a kind of a reset in some ways, just because there was the new process behind making it, and the songs themselves are a little more like produced, for lack of a better word. Like they don't really sound just like a live band. Like there's a little more going on, and I kind of have been interested in that approach lately. And this is our first real attempt at doing something like that. So I think, yeah, the next one might kind of build on this. So yeah, I don't know if that, where that situates it exactly. So we'll see in the future.
Yeah. So like you say, something to build upon on this and see how it organically grows. It's really exciting.
Yeah.
You're about to go on tour. The dates are already out for the US tour. How does it feel, you know, doing a tour? Does it feel different each time, or is it, I don't know, kind of just you turn up, you plug in, you play, and you do the best you can, and I hope everyone's enjoying that.
That sounds like something I would say, actually. Yeah, just making it sound like the least interesting thing of all time, where people are just like, really? But that is kind of what we do. Yeah, we're like kind of a touring machine at this point. You know, we're like a 3-piece band. We just get in a tiny van and cruise around the country, and that's that. But to keep it interesting for ourselves and for people coming to the gigs, we're pretty particular about, like, you know, the other bands on the bill and stuff. So we'll usually have a band like on tour with us, and then they'll be like, I listen to a lot of music. So in every city, I'll be like, oh, we got to play with like this local band, you know, because it's something I've been into. So we try to make every show pretty like a show we would want to go to, you know, and that makes it more fun. Yeah.
I like that element that you've just said there about when you're going to different cities, you're kind of seeing and listening to what's going on in that city. And it's nice to give those bands that might not have the opportunity to jump on, you know, a bigger production kind of bill, that opportunity, which is really, really cool. So yeah, that's cool itself. Do you continue to learn anything from touring, you know, whether I don't know simple things like to make sure the cable goes in the right box, something as frivolous as that?
You'd think I would be better about taking care of my stuff at this point, but I'm really not. Like I have a guitar that I knew was like a pretty nice guitar. It's just like an old Gibson SG, but I brought it on our last tour, and we were opening for this band, the Menzingers, who are like very popular. So we were playing these big places, and I was like playing this guitar and kind of just like beating it up. And the guy from the Menzingers was like, you know, that's probably like a $10,000 guitar. And I was like, what the fuck? Yeah. Like, why am I on tour with this right now? This should be, I can sell this. Yeah. So I'm not sure what I've learned as far as that, or putting things away in the right place. But you do learn some about yourself on every tour, because it's kind of like an endurance sport. You know, when we go out there, we go out for like a month and a half or something. And, you know, you learn how to be in the same tiny space with the same 3 or 4 other people for a long time. And that's, you know, there's real highs and real lows during those points, regardless of how good of friends you are with everybody. So you kind of come home maybe smarter and a little more tired, but you know, it's fun every time.
I've just got this image of you handing that Gibson to your guitar tech going, look, pull it in that case over there and do not let anyone near it. Please keep it. Keep it safe. Just kind of like frantically mid-set, you know, on the guitar changeover, just But it's safe. Keep it safe for me.
I wish. If we had a guitar tech, that's the kind of thing they would have told me by now. But yeah, it's just stupid old me being like, this guitar's cool. Yeah.
In terms of picking set lists for your tour, how do you go about that? I suppose every band, they try and pick out the hits and maybe some kind of deep covers that people might not have heard in a while. Is that something that you kind of play around with, or do you just... I don't know, just go organically with how you feel on the night.
We kind of, like, from tour to tour, we'll kind of figure out, like, a more or less, like, this is the set for the tour, you know, and we'll flip things around here and there. But, like, yeah, for this one coming up, you know, it's the tour for the new record. So I think we're just going to play the record all the way through and then kind of do the hits, which we have a lot of records at this point, and people want to hear, like, a lot of the songs. So it's hard to really pick. But, yeah, we try to keep it to, like, an hour 15 set, because we just, I don't know, it's kind of exhausting to do much more than that, and I don't want to. So yeah, it can be hard to pick the old songs at this point, but we always do try to do like the newest stuff first. Yeah,
it's for those that, you know, might not have realized, it's hard work being up there. It looks all great and cool, but a lot of energy goes into putting a show together for so many people. So I can understand wanting to kind of get your stuff done, get, you know, get in the shower and then tucked into bed, so to speak.
Yeah, sort of. And also just like, I mean, our drummer is like an insane person. He's like pounding away up there crazy fast. He's like a sweaty mess by the end of it. A lot of our songs are just like, you know, kind of yelling. There's a lot of yelling in there. I can't do that for like 3 hours every night. So it's just like, yeah, you gotta, yeah, keep it tight. Yeah.
I've noticed that there's a particular anniversary coming up this year. I know you've briefly touched on anniversaries a few minutes ago. Here and Nowhere Else, I believe, is turning 10 years this year. What are your memories from making that particular album? I was very lucky enough to be turned onto this album by Mark Coppice, who was sharing a particular track on his socials. I can't remember how many years ago, but it was a number of years ago, and here I am listening to Cloud Nothings.
Mark Coppice, what a guy. Bringing people
the
together.
Legend.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that record is, yeah, Here and Nowhere Else. It's like 10 years old. And that's hopefully going to bring us to the UK and Europe towards the end of the year. We're trying to do a little tour around that maybe, which will be nice, because otherwise I don't know what plans we have. But yeah, we made it in Hoboken, New Jersey with this guy, John Congleton. And all I really remember, I don't really remember specifics about it at this point, because it's been a long 10 years. But I think, all I really remember is that the studio had flooded before we got there, and nobody told us that. So like half the stuff there was just like broken, which wasn't great. And then at night, around like 6 every night, they would actually lock us out of the place where we could like play music. So we just had like a few hours every day to like get this shit done. And it was pretty annoying, actually. But the record turned out good because of that. And the songs are maybe kind of like really fast and intense, I think partly because of that process, where it's like, we got to just do this. You know, we barely have any time and everything's broken. So those are the big memories. Yeah.
Nothing like a challenge, right? From the studios just saying, hey, I'm not going to tell you that we're locking up at a certain time. We're not going to tell you there's been a flood. And the ceiling might cave in because there's been like some sort of flood for the last 6 weeks. But you go ahead and make your album. Talk about surprising,
like, all right. Cool, man. Thanks. Yeah. Like, I wish anyone had said any of this. Might have gone somewhere different. But oh, well.
The courteous thing would have been to do at least leave a note on the door, right? To say broken equipment, leave it kind of vague like that.
Yeah, for sure. Throw a brick through the window with like a letter taped on it.
Obviously, you mentioned you've been going for a number of years now. What keeps the flame burning for yourself, Dylan? What keeps you wanting to keep doing this?
I just really like playing music with people. It kind of is like the one thing that to be like earnest about it, it just makes me really happy. Like, it's very fulfilling for me to just be playing music with people. It's how I've made basically all my friends that I've ever had, and continue to, you know, meet people and stuff through it, and done all, you know, traveled all sorts of places. And I still like doing it, you know, and if I ever get tired of it, maybe I'll stop. But for now, it kind of is that nice fulfilling thing.
Aside from music, what are your passions outside of music? Do you, I don't know, playing sports or anything that kind of inspires lyrics from yourself?
I do. Well, you know, I do like kind of generic things. Like, I read a lot. I have this dog that I really enjoy. And then I run a lot. That's a big one. Yeah, I spend a lot of time running. That's slightly more of a recent hobby, I guess. But that's probably what I would say my main thing is outside of music at this point.
Cool. You've mentioned, obviously, there's potentially a tour to celebrate a 10-year anniversary. What else can we expect from yourselves over the next 18 months or so during this album cycle?
Yeah, yeah. Well, album comes out in April. Going to tour the US in May, June. Hopefully get over to the UK in the fall. Who knows? But yeah, we have, ideally, there's some time in there that we would maybe record the next thing and get that out sooner rather than later. Just because, you know, it's nice to put records out and be touring because we weren't able to for a little bit and that sucked. So it's nice to kind of get back in the rhythm of just working. It's great. Yeah.
It keeps kind of like everyone, you know, on board and engaged, I guess. That's with the attention spans shortening each year, I feel. So it's really good to keep that kind of shoved in people's faces. Hey, we're still here. We're still making music. Come and see us. Come and listen to what we've got going on. So that's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Lastly, for myself, Dylan, what makes music so special for yourself? I know you've briefly touched on, you know, you've met a lot of your friends that way and it's what you enjoy doing.
I mean, when I was a kid, I was pretty just depressed and kind of antisocial for lack of a, you know, better word. But music was the one thing that kind of like felt like a friend to me in a way. You know, I didn't have many friends at school or anything. I wasn't really super, you know, outgoing. But I would just be listening to music and like, you know, playing. I played saxophone when I was a kid, doing that and playing guitar and writing little songs and stuff. And that was super helpful just in terms of like mental health as a child. And that, you know, I'm out of that phase, luckily, at this point in my life, but music remains something that like, yeah, is just kind of a powerful thing for me that, whether I'm playing Cloud Nothings or like just the other day, I played saxophone with this really weird, like improv group called Yeti Scalp in Cleveland, Ohio. And I do stuff like that all the time too, just like outside of the rock zone, just to kind of, yeah, you meet weird people and you learn a lot of cool stuff. And that's kind of what I want my life to be. You know, I don't want to just sit around and get boring. Yeah. So it's just kind of keeps me from stagnating. Yeah.
That's absolutely cool. I suppose playing, you know, with that particular group, it just like say takes away from the everyday thing, just something different, seeing different faces as well. So that's cool in itself.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Dylan, I wish you all the very best with Final Summer and of course the tour in May, and hopefully we'll get to see you back end of the year in the UK. All the best, buddy, and thank you much for your time today, for joining me on Setting the Tone.
No problem. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Not a problem, my friend. Take care and hope to catch you soon.
Appreciate it. Later.
Cheers, bye-bye. Hey everyone and welcome back. So that was Dylan from the band Cloud Nothings. To give you a taste of what Final Summer sounds like, I'll be playing you a track called Running Through the Campus from the album Final Summer, which is out everywhere on April the 19th. You'll be able to pick up this album digitally as well as physically. If you're not sure where to pick it up physically, head over to Set and Tone's Facebook and Instagram page, Set and Tone UK Podcast, and the links for the album will be there. Here is the track Running Through the Campus to round out the show.
I'm not afraid to die.
Hey everyone and welcome back. So that was a track, Running Through the Campus, taken from the album Final Summer, out everywhere on April the 19th, digitally as well as physically. Like I said, not sure where to get a physical copy. I'll be posting a link over on Set the Tone's Facebook page and Instagram page, simply Set the Tone UK podcast, and the links for Cloud Nothing's pre-order of Final Summer, as well as their social media links and website, will be there for you to click through. Thank you once again to Dylan from the band Cloud Nothings, as well as Hayley from Good as Gold PR, and of course the management companies, record companies, etc., and of course you, the listeners out there. It means the absolute world, and I'm not just saying that, I mean it full-heartedly, for you to tune to another episode from me, to hear what I've got to say and what I'm bringing you. So thank you. Until next time, bye bye for now and stay safe. Wow.